This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark. A profit desert is coming. Or so says a new report that Detroit business columnist Daniel Howes has been digging into. Hey, Daniel.
Hey.
So a profit desert for the auto industry. I thought times were good. What's going on here?
Well, they are good comparatively, but they're getting perceptibly worse and more difficult as we go forward every month. And I think this has some real implications going forward. Look, the auto industry, we've talked about it many times on this show, I've written about it a lot, is really two auto industries right now. It's the traditional make cars, trucks, SUVs, develop those products, occasionally dabble in putting out electric cars that very few people buy, comparatively speaking. And then there's the whole new world of new technology. And having to fund that new technology is absorbing more and more cash in enormous amounts. One of the predictions in this report by Alex Partners is that within the next 4 or 5 years, the auto industry is going to put $225 billion into the development of electric vehicles. Now, you look at that and you say, well, where are all the people to buy these vehicles? And I think that's one of the big questions. But this has major ramifications. I mean, UAW members, for example, who have been accustomed to really nice profit-sharing checks over the last 7, 8 years, this could have implications for that.
But you do talk in your column that, in fact, the auto industry, of course, is a cyclical business, that adjustments and realignments happen throughout history. So isn't that just kind of what's going on here?
Yine. Not really. I mean, it is in the sense that, you know, we're coming off the greatest expansion of sales and profitability in the last 50 years. Coming out of the Great Recession, every year sales were expanding in the United States, profits were going up. So we've been accustomed to those kinds of things. What's different today is the cyclicality is complicated by the auto 2.0 thing that's hanging out there. The industry is now competing with Silicon Valley, with tech giants, with very innovative companies that move a lot faster than auto companies historically have. Now, how that race ends up, we don't know. But I think the point of this report and why I thought it was important to write about it is we don't know how long this desert is. You know, is this a small desert that they're going to get across in a couple, 3 years? Or is it something that's going to last a lot longer because companies, for example, a General Motors decides, we're going to go it alone. We're going to partner as little as possible. We'll make a few acquisitions. We're going to develop a lot of our technology in-house. Or another company, say a Fiat Chrysler, that says, we want to partner with people. We don't have certain expertise, and we're men enough and women enough to admit it, that we don't have certain expertise, that we can go out and buy it in the marketplace or partner with it in the marketplace. So how these companies decide to negotiate this thicket going forward or this desert really will depend on how long it takes for them to get across that desert.
Well, so who decides? Like, who is making those decisions right now? I mean, like, does the auto industry, obviously, they must employ economists. What, you know, there's this new industry futurists. I mean, who gets to make these decisions?
Well, ultimately, the top leadership does. And I think that's why it's important to look at how the leaders are positioning the companies, the decisions that they're taking in terms of who they're partnering with. I'll give you a good example. General Motors goes out and acquires a company called Cruise Automation out in San Francisco, and that's going to be the brains of its autonomous vehicles going forward. Fiat Chrysler says, we're not doing that. So we're going to make vehicles and we're going to partner with Waymo, which is affiliated with Google, which has probably got more miles of AV testing under its belt than any other company in the world at this stage of the game. So who's smarter? FCA has taken a position that, you know, we cannot out-tech tech. We can integrate technologies into the vehicle, but we can't out-tech tech. And that's the way we're going to do things.
So, I mean, are eventually auto companies just going to become tech companies?
I think in a lot of ways they already have. I mean, that's the direction they're going. You know, they are the great integrators. And I think if we had had this conversation a couple, 3 years ago, people would have said, you know, this race is already over. Silicon Valley won. Detroit is dead. Fast forward now to today, the tech giants have come to the conclusion that building cars, ask Elon Musk, is not easy. And integrating technology, doing it economically, doing it with precision. I mean, that's what building vehicles is all about. You do the same thing every time, and it looks the same every time. And other companies have found that's really hard to do, and the margins are crappy compared to the tech world. So I think there's a different appreciation now on both sides. Auto industry has realized there are certain things they just don't have the capability to do, and they need to go out and find that capability and partner with it or acquire it or both. And the tech companies are come to the same conclusions that, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to need the traditional auto industry to get their technology in and to actually scale the business that they envision.
A brave new world. Daniel Howes, business columnist for the Detroit News, thanks so much.
You bet.